Well, good evening, everyone. As we gather tonight, we are going to look at what it means to have a good name. It was probably 20 years ago that I first heard this story, true story. It was at the machine shop where Thomas used to own. He had a poster back in the break room, and the poster, as I have been told, had a picture of a man holding a Bible and a man one hand holding a Bible and one holding a hand of cash, and the statement at the bottom said, "Choose you this day." And one of the men who worked there in the shop happened to be back in the break room. He looked at it and he said, "I think I'd rather have that cash." And I think that night, after as the weekend had started, he had stopped by the bank and had picked up some cash and was sitting in his house watching a sports event. And his buddy was in the room with him and gets up and leaves momentarily and comes back and finds that this fella has passed. He had $2,000 in his pocket. "Choose you this day." And his name was Joe Toom. I don't think there's anybody that knows the Toom family, but I would see his name that had been inscribed on some of the tools that were left there in the shop. And as I would pick it up and to use a screwdriver or borrow something that had his name on it, I would feel uneasy because I knew the connection, the story about how that ended up in the shop. And it was overwhelming. And it wasn't too terribly long ago that I was sharing that same story with someone else. And they told me, "Well, I think today I'd rather have the money." And I thought to myself, that's tragic. I know that times can be tough, and I know that times can be hard. And sometimes there is a temptation for us to cash in, to purchase out on our good name for the sake of finding some relief financially. It happens all the time. We are tempted sometimes when times are tough to we're faced with that temptation. Do I bend? Do I buckle? Do I do what I know other people have done just to get ahead? Or just to be caught up? Did you see in the news this week? Maybe you haven't, maybe you have. I believe it was Connecticut. There was a young man who applied for a job at a convenience store working the third shift. He goes in to start his shift, working the third shift by himself. As he comes in, that's the last of the footage that they have, I do believe, because the young man went back to the back room and he takes the tape out of the recording equipment. He takes his employee file, and on his very first shift, he steals some $17,000 worth of merchandise from the convenience store. He walks away, and the owner of the store had no idea what the man's name was. That's a whole lot to be entrusted to this fellow. It's there. You can look it up. There's something in the story about man steals $17,000 on his first shift. When I saw that, I couldn't believe it, that his name is unknown. But his name is very well known. They have his picture that they showed on the news, I guess, trying to show anybody who had the whereabouts to this fellow who so brazenly and so brashly takes a job. And don't let that be an instruction to you tonight to say, if you need money, go get a third shift job and you can help yourself to whatever you want. But tonight, as we go back, and we're going, because I didn't spend a lot of time this morning talking about the importance of a good name. And I have a question for you. What is in a good name? Is it just good? Is it better? Is it best? As we start off tonight, I'd like to ask, what's in a name anyway? Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment. And I want you to know there is actually a play of words going on right here in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 1. Which one is better, a better name or a better ointment? Because the Hebrew that is there, there is very little difference between those two words. And if there's anything to be said about this passage, there is a pun of sorts in the wordplay that the preacher is using in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. Now, we spent some time this morning asking about or exploring what is better, to have a name or to have a precious ointment. And as we worked through that passage, I just told you a few moments ago that that explanation of the word better that was there, literally the reading in Hebrew is a name is better than better ointment. It is just the word better is connected with, it's the same word that's connected with the name and with the ointment. So as far as the surface on the value, the name and the ointment both have the same better in it, but I think you and I understand the context that having a good name is far better than having a precious ointment. And the play on words that we find here, it's something called a paronymasia. It is really a one or two letter difference between those two words in the Hebrew. So it looks interesting as the Hebrew reader is reading it, as they see that, and as they would have heard that word in Hebrew, they would have picked up on that wordplay. Maybe a smile would have come to their ears, or maybe it would have really perked them up to hear that important distinction. Because we do live in a world that operates and is driven by the love of money. And to consider having that challenge like it was presented to Joe Toom, what would be better to have? A relationship with Jesus or enough money to get me through the day? The answer is of internal value and greatly differs in the end of the thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 is that it's not just the name, like Brother Clifton Fox. That is a very nice name. When I hear the word Clifton, I automatically picture Brother Clifton Fox. And what's built in with his name is his reliability. I know he leaves here every Sunday, and he said, or every Sunday, every Wednesday. The last thing you say to me every time you walk out the door is, call me if you need me. I'm here. And whenever I think about Brother Clifton's name, I know that I can rely on him. I can count on him when I need to. What's in a name isn't so much just the beautiful letters that are used to make up your name, but it's that your name has with it the expected promise. It's the name is that's given reveals an expected promise. This is where we see the passage going tonight as we look at two passages, actually. It's Isaiah chapter 56, verse 5. We are going to see what the Messiah, what the Anointed One, the promise of the Anointed One, and what's tied up in his name. Because I want you to know tonight, we're going to end up looking at our name versus Jesus' name. And there is no comparison between the two, because the name of Jesus is unlike any other name. But Isaiah 56, verse 5, we find this. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. One of the blessings of the Messiah is the name that he gives to his children. It's a name that is better. And so the name that you and I were born with when we came into this world, sinner, as we look at the gospel story this morning, as we'll visit it again tonight, our name isn't our reality any longer because we have been set free in Jesus. He has taken our sin, he's taken our wrath, he's taken our punishment upon himself. And he leaves us with a better name. And the promise that is there in the name, I'm just going to ask you for quick reference to go back through and play every Wednesday night for the year of 2019 as we looked at that name above names. How that his very name, Jesus, Jehovah saves. As we look at his name and understand the promise that's in his name, I want you to know names do carry weight, and they do make a big statement about who we are and about who he is. A name also carries an enduring reputation. These are points are rooted in scriptures, and tonight I'd like to visit with a particular person who is using ointment to make a name for herself. This is Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat. And there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box, and she poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? For she hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of a memorial of her." And this woman's act has the weight and has behind it the reminder to us of the little things, the seemingly insignificant deeds that you and I do in Jesus' name are extremely important. But her, consider what she has done. Jesus, Messiah, Jesus, the anointed one, is being anointed by this woman for what purpose? He says, to prepare his body for burial. Her anointing with the oil, which was very precious, and the disciples were very upset because she had wasted it. This lady's actions had a connection to her name, even though she's not named here in this passage. We know her name's Mary. But as we look at this woman's action, her promise. Did someone mess with me? I heard that Siri beeping again. I'm a little bit gun shy. Brother Clifton, I'm watching your phone. This woman's gift to Jesus, it's bound up in her actions. Jesus says you cannot even tell his story without sharing this simple memorial to her. Now, her gift, the sacrifice that she makes, is not part of the salvation story that you and I carry, that we put our trust in this woman because she did this act. But her legacy is wrapped up in her name because of her actions. So don't think that your precious value of your name is built on the beautiful way that your letters are constructed to make out your name. Our name has a greater value than anything else of value. Solomon says in Proverbs 22, verse 1, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver or gold." And you cannot put any value in comparison to having a good name or to having money. And that's what I say in here tonight as an encouragement for each and every one of us. Because we may not be rich people as far as dollars go. But you have a currency that's built into your name that reveals your legacy. And it is the currency that you trade when you interact with the people in your life. And they know how trustworthy, how reliable, how honest and your integrity is before them. And that said, the problem with a good name is that it can lose its value by a poor choice that's made. Proverbs 10, verses 7 through 9, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. And that's the tragedy of having a good name, that in a moment's weakness, you can lose your good name. That's overwhelming. And that's discouraging for someone who's messed up, because you know exactly what I'm talking about. That when someone says your name, the associations, the connotations of someone saying your name, they know immediately, hey, this person is really trustworthy, or this person has absolutely no credibility. You can't rely upon them. You can't trust them. I have had lots of conversations over the years with people who've promised to do something for me or do something for the church. And when it came time to do that thing, they were nowhere to be found. And empty promises are what's connected to that person's name in my mind. But you know what? If that person came up to me and says, hey, I want to do this. I know I said I would do it and I didn't do it, but I want to do this. Would you let me do this? I would be just as dumb enough to say, yeah, I'm going to trust that you're going to do it again. Not knowing whether or not they will. But that's the way it works with me. I'm a little bit forgiving, or sometimes maybe too forgiving. Maybe it's not that way for you, and I don't say that that is a weakness in me or a strength in me that I sometimes overlook when people take advantage of me, and I'm not saying that it is a strength in you if you don't. For that currency of someone's name and how we're going to use it and apply it in our life. So know that a quick, poor decision can certainly change the value of your name. My name contains all the good and the poor decisions that I make. That's a hard reality, but that's actually a fair reality, because when you think about each and every one of us, and you know your heart better than anybody else in here, and you know your weakness and you know your limitations, and you probably carry with you the weight of those poor decisions that maybe nobody else knows about it, and maybe so much of what we do is trying to undo what we didn't do in the past, that we want to make sure that people don't know about that time that I let my promise slip, and I'm going to work extra hard and extra diligent, and sometimes it is because we've had those failures that we're overcompensating so that we can make sure that it doesn't happen again. Is that any more right? When we're trying to hide the truth of who we are? But we're not quite to that place of hope yet. We're just looking at the observations of our names. A good name can be lost in a moment, and our names carries with it the ups and downs of the poor decisions and the good decisions that we make in our day-by-days. It's because our good name is the guarantee of our word. So when Solomon is looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and he's talking about the good name that's to be desired more than fine ointment or better ointment, it really comes down to the integrity and the trustworthiness of our word, what we say. So let that be a lesson to you. Don't cheat. Don't steal. People understand and people see. And I think whenever I consider the representation that we have of Christians on television, have you ever picked up the way that the world represents Christians on television? It shows us as being corrupt or crooked. We're speaking out of one corner of our mouth, but we're doing the exact opposite. And we can't get that far away from it. It's not that far removed from the truth, because the representatives sometimes that we have on television, not saying this is true for every one of them, but you can tell which ministries are built upon just trying to be the richest and try to be the best. I was once, there was a school here in the area, a university, called me up and said, "Hey, we were just wondering if we could send you some literature about our program." I said, "Well, tell me about your program." And they said, "Well, we're absolutely to be the best we can be by the number of people that we have and by the amount of money that comes flowing in. If you look at how much money is coming in here, it is just overwhelming, and people are really behind us." And I say, "But what's behind your academics?" "Our academics?" "Yeah, you know, the purpose that people go to school for. What's the spiritual thrust in the environment that you provide there?" "Well, we're the biggest. And we're the best. And we're going to work on that other." And I hung up the phone and I thought to myself, how sad. Because you could just as easily have set it out to do the right way. To be the best by selling out to God first, rather than trying to get to the top and then give it all to Him. Our scruples and our values are revealed in our words. So don't cheat and don't steal. Don't let people think, give even the impression that our driving motivation is money and stuff. And I think we've hit that hard. Last week we looked at finances. And tonight, as we are working through this, understanding that our good name really is connected with how our finances and how we manage our finances. So if you borrow something, repay it. It is so quick that we can get into trouble financially. And our name gets messed up. I got an email this week about a credit scoring company wanted me to try their service to check out the value of my name. And I didn't need to do that, because I know there's no value in my name. My wife will tell you that. But if you borrow something, repay it. And sometimes we get ourselves into debt, as we looked at with our finances, and that weight really does pull on our integrity. And sometimes there is that temptation that we can find it a little bit easier to flex, to maybe cheat, to maybe steal when we shouldn't, to maybe not repay what we borrow. Another area that we need to watch out for is honoring our promises. If we make a promise, make sure that we guarantee that promise by following through. Have you ever had someone promise you something and not do the thing that they promised to do? Some of you said, "Yeah, like let out early." Shame on you. But it's our word that we use to show how we care. It is through our language that we use. And when people say your name, when people say my name, is the takeaway that they have that our name really is centered around someone who is genuine and someone who really does care for people, who really does love people. It really does matter. Because the currency that you and I have in our name is exchanged among the people that our life touches. And the connection of that community of people that our lives have touched mutually. That when people get together, they make statements about our integrity and our trustworthiness. So make our words count. Because a good name can be lost in a single moment of poor response. "And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few." James says it this way in verse 19 and 20 of chapter 1. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Have you ever noticed how quickly your testimony, how quickly your credibility, how quickly your estimation can be lost through just an explosive word? There is a lot at stake. And so I tell you this tonight, not to warn you. At Camp Deer Lake, when we explain to our counselors all that's required of them throughout the weekend, we start off by saying, hey, you're going to have the easiest week this week. You're just going to sit back, and you're just going to watch the campers, and you're just going to encourage them. You don't have to stand on top of them. You don't have to berate them. Just love them. Sit back and watch them, and just keep your eye on them and know where they're at. And then I start outlining what that looks like and how you do that. And I end up with a story about making sure that their good name and their testimony is maintained among the kids. And by the time I finish with that story, the counselors are looking around the room thinking, yeah, is there a way I can get out of this? Because that is really terrifying. I hadn't considered that. But in just a single moment, you and I can really, really blow it. So there is a lot riding on our name. But let's get now to the meat of the message, because we look at Jesus' name, because this is where hope is found. Jesus' name is unlike any other name. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. You know where I'm going with this. Say it with me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above, say it with me, every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. His name is unlike any other name. But sometimes, our names really do affect his name. And I want you to know that when you and I go out of our way to let others know that we're Christian, the scrutiny and the heat is really turned up, because the world does want to catch us in our doublespeak. They want to see us fall. They want to see us stumble. Because the name above all names, the one whom we represent, sometimes people are just looking for an excuse to say, why in the world would I want to believe him when you clearly don't? I think we've established enough tonight that you and I have the propensity, we have the opportunity to lose our good name, but know this, his name heals our bad name. His name has the power to heal our bad name. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. His name and in his person, he has given us everything that we need for life and godliness and living out his name as his children in this world. So his death doesn't bring with it the power to heal, to restore, to give us his righteousness. And if you've ever done something wrong, or you've ever wronged someone, please know this, that Jesus' name has the power to forgive and the power to heal. And that is something that he does the moment you seek and confess, as we looked on Wednesday night. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1, 9. But just because he has cleaned our good name may be recovered, but it's going to take a long time to restore our good name with our neighbor. So be careful with the currency that you have with your name. Tonight, as we close, Know that our name really does communicate our heart to our neighbors. Our name, when our name is said in any company of people who know us, there is a statement made about the one whom we serve. Sometimes people are shocked to hear that we're believers. Sometimes people will be amazed at how many people can so clearly see the character. So please know this, that your name, my name, communicates our heart's desires to our neighbors, so make it count. Don't let it be about greediness or about envying or about anger as we look this morning. May our name seek to exalt his name, because our name either glorifies or slanders his name. So let's make our names count this week. A good name is worth a greater commodity than great